going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the odds-on favorite to be the next Bruins captain, David Pastrnak. Bruins breakup day yesterday. Hour two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's a Friday four-pack of questions coming your way about a half an hour from now at 11:30. Hate it or love it. Mason Graham, would you hate or love that pick? At number four, you can still vote on Ashton Jeanty. Yesterday's hate it or love it selection. One-man thrill ride. If you listen to him, he knows where it's at.
Great.
We'll get back to the Celtics as well at high noon. Week in review, 12:45. And a WrestleMania preview with Jason Rossi at 1 o'clock. We agree, David Pastrnak should be the next captain of the Boston Bruins, correct?
Yeah, I think like 2 months ago, I might have said McAvoy. But I feel like ever since they traded everybody away, including Marchand, and Pastrnak's been the one playing, right? Like McAvoy hasn't really been around because he was hurt. Now, I know he spoke yesterday, but Pastrnak was there in the immediate aftermath of all those trades, all the losing. He was there. He was talking. The more and more he talks, the more I like him, and the more I never really considered him like a great leader or a guy that would be a captain, like incredibly skilled, but that doesn't always line up with being a leader. But I think he's become the obvious choice of being the captain next year.
So I agree. Out of the options currently in front of me, I like when we were joking around with Scott McLaughlin yesterday. We had a full breakdown on the Odyssey app. If you missed any of it earlier this week, AUDACY. Get on your phone free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You're like, well, sign Marner and make him the captain.
Yeah, Mitch Marner.
Like, out of the options now, I agree with you. Pastrnak's the best option. But, and you even just said some of this, do you think he's actually a good leader or is he just the best option they have?
Might be more the second thing.
Because this is where now I'm starting to push back a little bit against what I'm hearing on David Pastrnak. And you guys can jump in on this, 617-779-7937.
You got to start from somewhere. No. And that might be the first qualification.
Out of your options.
Yeah.
He's the best guy. He did
him or Swayman.
He faced the No, we'll get to him. He faced the music after all these losses. He was available.
Yeah.
Charlie McAvoy has been hurt, but the word on him is that he's not always the most accountable. And, you know, Pastrnak's a way more established player than McAvoy is. So I agree with you. Out of the options in front of us, I guess Pastrnak's the best available. Now, separate question. Is Pastrnak a good leader? My answer would be no. I mean, he's part of the reason. Go back to the Keith scoop way back when.
Mm-hmm.
Pastrnak didn't want to play with Marchand. That was a Pastrnak report. It got spun into Pastrnak scoop.
Yeah.
That was a Pastrnak scoop. It got spun into Keith versus Marchand because Marchand got all butthurt and defensive about it. But that was really a report scoop about David Pastrnak.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
go pound sand.
I would have this somewhere on the list. And I would also point out, I mean, even though he was accountable and facing the music and individually very productive, the team went down the crapper the second he was like the leader face of the team.
Yeah.
Down the absolute dumper.
Well, they lost
10 in a row.
All right, they
awful. Lost 12 out of 15. Yeah. They lost whatever it was to end the year. So like,
but you saw like who the personnel. I mean, McAvoy was hurt before.
He had the most amount of points since January 1st. I think he had the percentage point.
I'm not questioning that he's wildly talented.
No, he's very talented.
He's ridiculously talented.
You could argue how meaningful any of those games
is
were.
Is he a good leader? He might be
TBD.
He might be the best leader they have.
Yeah.
That doesn't make him a good leader.
No, it doesn't. Now, he's been in the league a long time. He's for a guy that's not even 30 yet. In fact, he'll be 29 next month. He played for Claude Like, think about how long ago, like, this is 11 years in the league. So that's also what? He's played for four coaches over that time? So this guy next year will be the fifth head coach he's played for?
Yeah. Claude, Cassidy, Monty, Sacco.
Pretty wild.
Next guy.
You know, one thing I do really like about Pastrnak is the last 3 years, not only has he gotten 100 points in every season, he's played all 82 the last 3 years.
Healthy
like
guy.
That. But not only that, but it's sort of like he plays through stuff. And I think that like that could be a sign of a leader. So I think also it might be a bit of a departure because, and we even saw this with Marchand. When Marchand was named captain, I don't think anybody looked at him and was like, yeah, we knew that guy was going to be a captain. He's going to be a great captain.
Look, I was wrong, but I was much more on board than most with Marchand being the captain.
I also think it's a drop off from like Chara, Bergeron, who just like their personalities just sort of like reek hockey captain. Like these are like a coach on the ice. Whereas like Marchand, like sort of the way he plays and like sort of on the edge, over the edge, you're like captain.
Well, like, and even if you're jokey with everyone. Right? And you can lead in different ways. But Marchand is like jokey with everyone and he's chirping everybody.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, the annoying brother. Does that translate as a captain?
Well, I don't think so this year.
No.
That's for sure.
No, I'm saying, I think people voiced that at the time.
Right.
I dismissed it. Those people were right. I was wrong. We're getting texts already. 617-779-7937. Marchand will be back and he'll be the captain next year.
I feel like no chance.
Zero chance.
I feel like no chance he's back, especially with Sweeney and Neely coming back.
They could beg him to come back. He's not coming back.
That'd be like the one scenario is if like Sweeney and Neely were both gone because clearly the negotiations went sideways.
Fine.
And if he just loves Boston so much, by all accounts, I'll take his word for that. I'm sure he does. And if he wants to move back and he wants to play and whatever, new leadership might say, hey, we could do a lot worse than this guy. But the current leadership and the one that you couldn't get a deal with that traded you to Florida for a second round pick, you're not
great
coming
point.
Back.
If they bring in a new GM,
maybe.
Fine. But with this group, and
not
it sounds like this, all due respect to Greg Hill and his whisper campaign that he was hearing, but it seems like they're going to be back. So, yeah, I don't think he's coming back in that way. There's also this text. I didn't hear this. Maybe I need to listen again. Again, 617-779-7937. I took Pasta's comments as a shot at Marchand.
Ooh.
Do we need to listen again?
I don't know.
I didn't get that.
Maybe.
Can we cue that up one more time if you don't mind, Nick? Is it a shot at Marchand?
Maybe there's one in there.
I didn't hear it. Let's hear it.
Would you like to wear the C?
Listen, you know, it's like I said, like the leaders I had around me, it was never about who wears the C or who wears the A. Everybody in the room is equal here, and we need to make sure that, you know, that's one of the things that we have to find a group of the core again that's, you know, willing to put the work in. And I said, it's not about one guy. It's going to be multiple of us, and we need to be working together. Like I said, doesn't matter who's going to end up wearing any letter, but it starts in a group. Everybody's equal here, no matter if you're young or older. And that's, you know, that's what always been like, and we have to keep it going.
Why not?
Huh.
That could be. Doesn't matter who's wearing the C. We're all equal here.
Imagine that's the same texture who can't. We can't count the years. Yeah, it's the same guy. We're like, wait a minute.
Sorry. Right.
Spotting dimes or eating onions.
We're not going to agree on everything, but maybe some things.
Okay, but good observation by the text line. I don't rule out that's an indirect shot at Marchand.
Yeah, I don't think the whole team was wild about the leadership. Now, there's also a lot of,
Keith,
look in the mirror for everybody, but
Keith, the scoop was, he specifically was not really liking Marchand's leadership.
Didn't love how Marchand called him out.
So, that would make sense.
Yeah.
That would all apply.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But maybe he'll choose to do things differently as a captain. Maybe one of those things, right? Like, he's been around good captains. He's been around maybe not so good of a captain. So maybe he knows sort of what to do, what not to do.
You also don't need to have a captain.
No.
Hockey,
but
though, I feel like those guys are obsessed with it.
I know what you mean. Like, technically, you don't have to name a captain, but you kind of
have. When Henrik Zetterberg retired for the Red Wings, they didn't have a captain until, I think, like 2 years ago, and they gave it to Dylan Larkin.
Yeah.
Really?
But does that sound like
how
a good
approach?
Were they? Yeah,
they weren't good. They were actually pretty terrible.
Yeah.
You need to have one.
I get that.
Don't you need the captain to talk to the ref?
I don't know.
Who's going to talk to the ref? And they're all confused. They're like, who talks?
Who's going to be there for the ceremonial puck drop?
The coach runs out to the
who
other side
leads the
box?
Handshake line when you get eliminated from the postseason? Who does that?
Who do you give the cup to?
That's
a question they need answered.
Who's the first to get the cup? It's a good question. If you don't
they
name
may
a captain,
not have to worry about that for a while.
You can't do any of this, though, Keith. That's a good point. Yeah. So, look, I agree. David Pastrnak, based on what they have now.
He's the guy.
Sign somebody new, trade for somebody new, and then come let me know. But based on what they have right now, Pastrnak should be the captain. Agreed. Sidebar question. Is he a good leader? I would say there's lots of evidence he's not. You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. 793.7. Then we get to this guy, Keith. For the last couple of days, we've mentioned Jeremy Swayman seemed just a little too happy with playing in 58 games. So he said it after the final game.
Right.
Where they lost in overtime. I'm already forgetting who that was against. The Devils?
Jersey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So he said it after the game, and then the breakup interviews, he repeated it again yesterday. So we've been talking about this for the last couple of days. Let's play you some of Jeremy Swayman. Just a little too happy with the amount of work he was able to put in last year, even though the results weren't good. Here's Swayman.
What do you feel like you have to work on next year?
I think, you know, the learning that I had this year, just with, you know, one, the games played, that was awesome, and just getting to know my body, knowing where my mental's at, and wanting more and feeling really good is something that I can really build on. But, you know, I take accountability. I wanted to play better. I know that I can play better, and that's something that I can't wait to work on. And this team is going to be a lot different next year with, you know, what we learned from this year, and you know, we've got a lot to look forward to.
Do you feel like playing more games wore you down?
No, and that's why I commented on that. I'm so happy with the way my body felt and my mind felt, and again, just being hungry, you know, every game, expecting to play and getting the nod, and, you know, wanting to give my team a chance to win every single night, and, you know, a huge testament to the trainers here and the work that, you know, we've put in to allow my body to attain that physical load.
Okay.
So the question was,
he's a little too happy.
What do you need to work on? And he said it was awesome to play all these games.
Mm-hmm.
So there was nothing he needs to work on. He had a career worst season across the board. With the exception of games played, if you want to use that as a, like, that was a career high, well, I suppose.
He certainly does.
Yeah, he does. But he allowed his goals against, his save percentage, like whatever goalie metric you want to look at, was worse this year with the exception of games played. So it actually was not as awesome as he makes it out. It was much worse. You were worse. You were a better goalie when you were splitting time.
Let me tell you, 58 games also isn't crazy. That's not a wild number. So
right. He played 44 the year before.
He was one of 10 goalies who played 58 in the NHL last year. Put another way, only 5 goalies played more than him.
Okay.
But all of them are older. Ready? Here are the 5 who played more. Hellebuck played 63. He had the best goals against and the most wins in the league. He's going to win the Vezina.
That was awesome.
He's going to get Hart votes.
That was an awesome season.
So like Hellebuck is going to get MVP votes, Hart votes, and he's going to win the Vezina. He's 31. Vasilevsky, 30. Sam Montalbán in Montreal, 28. Shesterkin, 29. Sorokin, 29. All those guys played more than Swayman. There were 5 other goalies who played the same amount. He is the only one he's the same age as is Ottinger, also 26. And Filip Gustavsson. So, like, all the goalies who played more than you were older. 58 right. is not crazy. It's top 10 in the league, but it's not crazy. It's not some wild outlier.
No.
He's far too satisfied with that number. And
about the other numbers? All the other numbers are trash.
Very much off-putting, yeah.
But that's sort of par for the course with Swayman. Like, we heard him before the year when he was talking about his contract, and then during the year. Now, I think you can blame him as well as the team for getting into this mess, having him miss camp, having him not being ready for the season opener, and then the season just never really coming together for him. He had a terrible year, but then to hear him talk about how awesome it was to play in all these games is maddening. Like, he was the face of why this team sucked. He was 42nd in the league in goals allowed.
Not great.
There's 32 teams. So everybody's got at least one goalie better than him based on the average?
I mean, the Bruins, based on averages, had a better goals against and better save percentage, I think, both of them off the top of my head with Corpy.
So the guy...
By the way, Corpy also wants to play more next year. I don't know if you saw those comments, but
he probably should when he's like, that's the guy that you're rolling out there all the time? That's the guy that gets the big contract? So yeah, he was terrible, and he doesn't think that he was terrible.
No.
And he's like, yeah, next year will be great. He's like, so basically his big takeaway from the year was, I didn't get hurt. I was available for 58. So, like, check.
People said I couldn't be the number one goalie, and I played 58 games. So, see?
Just because you play that many games.
In your face, haters.
This is a starting pitcher starting 30 games and having an ERA of 5.
5 ERA, exactly.
And be like, guys, didn't get hurt.
Right.
You're like, yeah, I know, but you sucked the whole season.
Right. You showed up every day. You didn't.
I don't need Tommy John.
You didn't bag out.
Chalk it up as a win.
You don't need Tommy John, but you served up a couple of meatballs every game and a 5-plus ERA.
Yeah. What is that? We don't want that.
Great.
That's not good. And one of the highest paid. That'd be like one of the highest paid pitchers. Not only that, like, not just a guy. It'd be somebody that you just gave a new contract to going through the entire year and being like, how about me?
So how do they fix him? Is it just, all right, at least you have the stamina to play 58 games, perhaps not well, but you at least prove you have the stamina to do it. You get a full off season, reset.
Yeah, you have to hope you get into camp.
Okay, but is that it? Or do they need to bring in another guy to split time, like already on the text line? I
you can't split time with a guy making that much money. It doesn't make sense for your team.
Trust me, I disagree with this because I think it hurts you come postseason time beyond just the pay. I think splitting that time, it hurts everybody come the playoffs as well.
Yeah,
but
right.
Text line, I'm sorry to say it, but he needs to get his buddy back, meaning Ullmark, who only started 44 games this year for Ottawa. And I know he was hurt for a stretch, but right. He only started 44 games. That is a guy who can only handle half of the work.
And has the same contract, right? Doesn't he?
Correct. I think down to the AAV. Shorter term, but down to the AAV.
Years.
So, yeah, I would not bring in another goalie to split time with him. I think I stick with the breakdown of him and Korpisalo. I think playing 55 games is probably about right. And he just needs to be better. And hopefully a full off season, rededication, all these other things. Guys who have fluky bad years, maybe he put too much on it. Maybe he didn't put in enough work in the off season. I'm hoping you get, I mean, for sure, better than what you got last year. I'm hoping we get the Swayman we saw in the past. Plus he can play 55 plus games. If he can't combine those two things next year, then you really, really, truly have to reevaluate it.
Yeah, he got off to a terrible start to the year, right? And then it just kind of snowballed from there. He allowed 3.57 goals per game in the first month of the season. First game right off the rip, they beat Montreal, but he allowed 4 goals. So like he was already shaky right off the rip. So even when he had a time in the year where he was playing a little bit more like he was the season before, it was never good enough. And I know like there'd be excuses like, oh, well, the defense stinks. It's like, all right. Again, he's 42nd in the league. I don't think every team has great, you know, smothering defense
right.
out there.
If he was 20th in the league, maybe we'd get him
maybe some more
a little more of an excuse. Cut him some more slack.
Yeah.
But 42nd?
And when the other guy on your team is better.
Thank you. Korpisalo's playing with the same crap, and he's been better, and we all think he's a way worse goalie. Like, something's got to give there. Mark is in Medford. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
So not only would Pastrnak be a good captain and a good leader for this team, I could tell you this right now. If the Bruins were in the thick of the playoffs right now, they finished, say, fourth or fifth, and they're in the playoffs, after the last 16 games that Pastrnak had, he'd probably be a finalist for MVP.
Okay, Mark.
Do you agree?
Mark, if they won some games and they were in the playoff mix, maybe he'd be a Hart candidate. I mean, maybe. I guess I don't know, but I don't rule that out. But hang on. So he's a brilliantly, wildly talented player. What have you seen that makes him a good leader?
Well, let's see. The last 15 games, okay?
Yeah,
they
lost,
were out of it.
They lost
they
all
were
of
done.
Them. Just about.
They were done. And he did not stop playing, and he did not stop playing hard. He carried this team on his back.
Okay,
he carried
him to a bunch of losses.
Yeah, that's
like,
tough.
I guess
you could say he played hard. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But be like, oh, on his back to what? Like, what end?
Good effort, and he produced. I mean, if you want to give him those two things, but there's plenty of guys.
I put the team my back, dude.
There's plenty of guys who get their numbers on bad teams when the games are meaningless, and those guys aren't good leaders.
I got another Swayman stat for you.
Okay.
This season, he had a winning record in 1 month. Only 1 month did he have a winning record.
What was the winning? Was it like one game over 500?
December when they barely played games?
No, it was December. No,
December when they barely played
remember
games.
Remember they won a bunch of those games? He went 7-2-1.
Oh!
In that month. Every other month, he's got a losing record.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good December.
All right.
That's 6-6-1-7.
That up.
7-7.
Yeah. Okay.
Nine.
Yeah, you take that and do that every month.
Yeah.
And then you got something.
Or at least a couple of months.
Right.
Before you start saying, yeah, I'm really happy my body responded really well to playing 58 games. Ay, ay, ay. I still, by the way, right here, right now, he had a terrible season. I'm fine with the Bruins handing him that contract last year. I know a lot of people aren't, and that's fine. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
I personally am okay with it. Another year like that, and then I'll be on your side. But right now, he had a horrible season. I still think that contract, especially with all of them that got handed out last year, I think Ottinger was one of them who got it. Ullmark, as you said, Shesterkin blew it out of the water.
Oh, yeah. Goalies are getting paid.
The contracts are going up. So I don't think it's as bad as some do, but he obviously needs to produce. That goes without saying. 617-779-7937. We got Hate It or Love It coming your way at 11:45. We will get to another prospect, Mason Graham. Will be the player we'll break down. And we have a four-pack of questions on a Friday. We call it the Friday four-pack. That's right after
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Ending with Billy Laney.
Friday four pack, Jones and Keefe. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Get to hate it or love it. At 11:45, Mason Graham, your pick today. Still, 10 minutes or so to vote in yesterday's show poll. Ashton Gentry, would you hate or love that pick at pick number four? You can vote on that at Jones and Keefe, Twitter and Instagram. We'll get back to the Celtics at high noon. But let's get into the four-pack, Keefe.
Yes.
What's our first question today, Billy?
All right. If Tristan Casas continues to struggle, who should play first?
They don't really have anybody right now. Like, if you look at the depth chart, it's what? Roman Gonzalez out of position playing first base?
I think Bradfo said yesterday they're already kind of sort of platooning the two of them. So that's the only...
I got one, though.
That's the only true first base. Oh, good. You got one?
I got one. Now, I'm stealing from the text line yesterday. I don't think we got to it, but I saw it on the text line yesterday. It's outside the box. What's Masataka Yoshida doing? I know he can't play left field. He can't. They don't want him in left field.
Yeah, he's not playing left field.
But can he grab a first baseman's glove and get over there, field a couple grounders, just squeeze the ball when they throw it to you? Can he play first base?
Height issue?
Maybe.
Like, not a lot of reach there.
I mean, they are pros. They should be able to hit a target at first base. But, right. I mean, usually you want a guy who's got a little height to him.
But at least you have good... Well, I know Bregman has errors, but like Bregman and Story, ideally, would be able to get the ball.
In theory, that's
there.
A good left side of the infield.
Is he too short? Maybe he's too short. But you're paying him $19 million right now to just like to hang out.
I feel like first basemen are hosses.
They have been typically hosses. But it's like Roman Gonzalez a hoss when you're playing him over there?
I doubt it. I got to be honest. I don't even know. Do you have the Yoshida frame? How big
is Yoshida? He's 5'8". All right.
He's first base. That's not much of a target.
All right, you can stick him in your pocket. So maybe
AI overview says MLB is likely for someone around 5'10 or 5'11 at least.
All right, I'm 5'11. I could play a little first base. I guess Roman Gonzalez is 6 foot. So
wow.
Maybe I've already
what a frame.
All right, maybe my idea is already.
No, but the question is if Cassis continues to struggle. Okay?
Who's playing so, first?
We're playing
Who's
that
on
out.
First?
Okay. My answer is Devers. And no. I don't know that Devers can do it, but that's my answer.
Okay.
And people are like, oh, you don't want Devers on the field. Well, I don't want him at third base when you have a gold glove third baseman. Could you sneak him onto the field at first? Maybe he'll be decent at it. I have no idea. He's never played it. That would be my answer. What I would not do, and neither of us mentioned this name, but I heard Greg talking about it this morning. I know it's been floated elsewhere as well.
He has.
I would not call up Roman Anthony to play first base.
Same.
I would call him up.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like
I'd smacking ding-dongs yesterday.
We said this early on this week when they were getting smoked.
Yeah.
By Tampa in the first game, and they were coming off a losing series against the White Sox. I'm like, they don't have much more time. Cora's calling them out.
Yeah.
They don't have much more time until you bring up Anthony and Meyer, and they just force their way into the lineup to shake the team awake.
Yeah.
So I think we're away from that a little bit. I'm all about calling up Roman Anthony.
What about Meyer?
But if Devers is at first, Anthony could be at DH potentially and some outfield. I'm not moving Meyer to first base. I think he's too valuable in the middle.
I agree, but there's no spot for him right now.
I would listen at second. I would listen at...
What are you doing with Campbell?
Well, I'm saying if Campbell is more of an outfielder or if Campbell is...
Your outfield's kind of jammed.
No,
right
I agree. They have a bunch of guys who can't play on the infield.
Because this is what I would do. I would have Roman Anthony in left, Jaron Duran in center, Willie Abreu in right.
Mm-hmm.
I would have Sadon Rafaela as like a Swiss Army knife playing every which way but loose. I'm keeping Campbell at second. So based on that, I have no spot for Meyer. Friend of the show.
What about this?
He can play first.
What about this? Meyer at second. I just think that's a waste.
But his bat would be in the lineup at least.
So Meyer at second.
Okay.
Duran in left. Campbell in center. Anthony in right.
So now you have Willie Abreu out the game?
Yeah, he's cooled off.
He had a nice heat back up.
Nice first week.
He was the MVP in the first week.
Get him in against, you can platoon and
so
mix
and
match.
Now you're bumping Willie Abreu out.
For Roman Anthony?
But as a side to this.
Campbell can't play second. And I'm not sure Campbell can play second.
Or now are you trading Willie Abreu for an actual first baseman?
Fine.
Maybe you end up doing that.
Let's start talking. My answer, though, on the roster right now, it's not Anthony. Yoshida's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I would see what Devers can do over there. By the
Yoshida's
way.
Yoshida's a little guy. He's probably not playing.
If nothing else, Devers is a target over there. I think we can all agree on that.
That's a lot
of surface area.
But do you think he could get to the bag in time?
I don't know. But
you
if
can get there faster than Costas can.
Costas is not good in the field.
The best answer is the one that Breslow gave yesterday on the front office report, is that we're all in on getting Cassis fixed.
How long do you wait?
I mean,
end of the month?
No, I'd go. Even
end of May?
I'm wildly impatient. Even I would go longer than that. End of May.
Memorial Day?
Yeah, like, you know, give him 2 months.
If he's hitting .172 at the end of May. Like they already moved him down to seventh in the lineup.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do?
I mean, I'm saying 2 months. Okay. I don't actually know I can hold out that long, but that feels like the right
day for
me.
Because he doesn't really have the track record either. Like, if there are guys that have a slow start, even like people are like, oh, Bregman's a slow starter. Well, it turns out not really, at least not this season. So, yeah, I don't know. That's tough.
Okay.
All right.
What else do we have, Bill?
Who do you got winning each first-round matchup in the NBA?
Okay, so I just went through this in the last break.
Right.
I have OKC over whoever the 8 seed is.
Sure.
Easy. This is probably a sucker's bet, not a buying opportunity.
Sure.
I acknowledge that. I'm sure the public's going to be all over this team, which makes it a sucker's bet. But whatever. I'm going Golden State over Houston, 7-2.
Mm.
I have another mini upset, Clippers over Denver. Denver is a mess. Jokic is wildly talented. Clippers are good, and Denver's a mess. So give me L.A. over Denver. Give me the Lakers over Minnesota.
Okay.
In the East, I have Cleveland over the 8. I have the Celtics sweeping Orlando. I'm going Detroit over the Knicks. And this, I honestly thought was the toughest series to pick, Milwaukee and Indianapolis.
Indiana,
not the Colts. I would go with Milwaukee on this one. Lillard's not back yet. They won 3 out of 4. Giannis is still easily the best player in that series. I'll go Milwaukee.
Lillard might play game 2, I guess, but we have a lot of differences. So I'm going Thunder. I am going to go Rockets. I'm going to go Rockets. It's a tough one, but Ime Udoka, best coach in the league. Everyone's picking the Warriors. I'll take the Rockets. They got home court advantage.
Let me actually check. Like, what are the series odds on that?
I bet
you can get the Rockets for plus money.
They're a really good home team, so even if they just win the home games, I think I'll take the Rockets over the Warriors. Reluctantly, begrudgingly, I'll take the Lakers over the T-Wolves. And I am going to take Nuggets over Clippers. So that's a different one. I think Jokic at least gets them around, and then I think they'll lose to the Thunder.
Rockets are plus 155.
Yeah.
Like, so
everyone's on the Warriors.
Like, again, that actually is a buying opportunity. Yeah.
So I'm going Rockets, Lakers, Nugs. And then in the East, I'll go Cavs, Celtics. I'm going Pacers over Bucks. I am taking Halliburton on the Pacers. And then I'm going Pistons as well. So we both have the 6-3 upset over the Knicks.
I mean, I have 2 5s over 4s. Those are barely updates. Yeah, yeah. But I have 2 real upsets. Golden State over Houston, which on the betting market isn't even an upset.
No.
And then I'm with you. Detroit over the Knicks. So that probably doesn't bode well for me. That's a lot of, you know, lower seeds beating higher seeds. Yeah. That probably doesn't play out well.
We shall see.
But those are our picks. What else do we have, Billy?
Do you think Jeremy Swayman will be a top 10 goalie next season?
That's a long way to go from 42nd if you're using goals against and save percentage.
I'm going to say, A, he better be.
Yeah.
And B, I think he will be. I think he was a top 10 goalie prior to last year. I think what you've seen out of Swayman, and I know it was always in a smaller sample size, he never played 58 games, which he's much too happy with himself about playing 58 games a year ago. But he didn't have an offseason. The team was terrible. I think the team will be better. Doesn't mean they'll be good.
Yeah, I don't know how much better.
But they'll be better than one of the bottom 5 teams in the league, I hope.
Yeah.
And he'll have a full offseason. Top 10 really shouldn't be that difficult to get in there. I say yes, he's a top 10 goalie next
I'm going to say no. And I think he can improve by quite a bit. It'd still land somewhere in the teens or 20 or something like that. I think the games played, like, he's so excited about the games played. Well, you're going to have to run that back again. And you're going to have to be a lot better. I don't know if the team is going to be a lot better. We'll see. Like, are they going to pay minus Lowry to be a minus 500 in front of them? Like, I don't know. So I think he's going to be better. Like, he has to be better, but I don't know if he cracks the top 10 next year.
Did you think he was a top 10 goalie going into last year?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I just think that's what he's been in limited sample size.
But I wonder if knowing you're playing every other game helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, if he can't handle playing 55, I know he played 58 this year. If he can't handle 55 games, then they screwed up.
Yeah.
I think he can. That's really not a big ask. You know, 10 goalies played 58 or more this year. I don't even, probably 15 played 55 plus. So, like, that's really not a big ask. All right. What's our last question, Billy?
Last question. With Sinners in theaters now, what is the best vampire movie of all time?
A lot of good choices. A lot of good Dracula films have been made. I'm going to go see Sinners tonight. I'm super excited about it. Michael B. Jordan in 2 roles.
Nice.
As well as Josh Allen's fiance, who's very smitten with Michael B. Jordan. Something to keep an eye on.
Something to keep an eye on.
I was Josh Allen. I keep both eyes on.
You're saying for Patriots season, that might be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, or if you're Josh Allen, I keep an eye on. A couple eyes. There's a great video of when they're on some red carpet, and Josh Allen's like holding onto her hand like really tight.
Like, don't, real tight. Don't cross the room.
Like, Michael B. Jordan's as charming as it gets, but please, stay by my side.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got? I'm curious. I'll give you mine in a second. What is your favorite or best vampire
movie?
Well,
if it was a show, it's very, very simple. Vampire Diaries followed by the originals. I mean, for a show, that's very easy.
Oh, True Blood, if you're doing shows.
I don't like True Blood.
You didn't like True Blood?
I didn't like True Blood.
What?
Not my kind of vampire show.
Oh, too sexy?
Yeah, too sexy.
Too sexy.
I like a little, you know, I like something for the mind.
PG.
Yeah, I want something for the mind to still be left there.
Real mind tickler.
Up for debate. Yeah. I don't need to see everything there, okay. True Blood. But I think shows would be very easy. Vampire Diaries and its spinoff, the originals. I actually was at a bit of a loss. I'll defer to Billy. Billy suggested today what, Billy?
Hotel Transylvania.
Okay.
The Hotel Transylvania films that I've been alerted.
I'm not going to argue.
I've been alerted to the fact that Adam Sandler is not even in the fourth one.
No.
Hotel Transylvania. My kid was watching it last night. Those are excellent. So give me the Hotel Transylvania series.
All right, very good. So there's a lot of honorable mentions, including Blade 1 and Blade 2.
I've seen.
Maybe even Blade Trinity.
I've seen
like
one.
That sort of thing. From Dusk Till Dawn. Never incredible. That's the one with Selma Hayek and George Clooney. Ooh. And Quentin Tarantino.
That's one where you don't need to leave anything to the mind.
No. Although there's a scene with a giant.
Sounds sexy.
There's a snake in that one, which I got to look away from.
I bet there was.
She's dancing with the snake.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
No, the correct answer would be a Swedish film called Let the Right One In. It is a, they made it.
Swedish?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Now they remade
better
it.
Than Hotel Transylvania.
Subtitles?
3. Yeah.
Better. Yes.
Sounds like a
subtitles?
Subtitles.
Reading. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. You don't know how to read? You can't read?
I know how. I'm not watching a movie.
All right,
to read.
So they remade.
Well.
Yeah. They did an English version. They did it called the Let Me In or something like that. It's slightly different title. It's still very, very good.
Uh-huh.
But it's a, what you would think, what appears to be a kid vampire. But as you know, vampires, once they become vampires, don't age. The vampire itself is very, very old.
I see.
But looks like a young girl and has to recruit somebody to sort of be with, like, a human so she can, like, lure people in and, like, feed off of them.
Got it.
It's a little romantic film.
Well,
romantic horror. They are very romantic.
They're quite sexy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're quite sexy, yeah.
So
was that a Stiz recommendation?
No. I saw this way before I met Stiz.
Stiz would have been all over it.
No. Oh, I think he loves it, too.
I told Stiz about this, actually.
No. This one came out in 08, and then I think like a couple years later, they did an English version, which is also very good, but maybe not as good.
Okay.
But it's the best one.
A lot of love already on the text line. Multiple texts for the Lost Boys.
Lost Boys is great.
Lost Boys? Kiefer Sutherland? Is that right?
Yeah. The Corys?
Both were in there.
I think the Flying Corys were in there.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
Bill from Bill and Ted was one of them.
Yeah.
He's one of the Lost Boys.
Not Keanu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. A lot of good choices.
Okay. What is your film again?
Let the Right One In.
Let the Right One In.
Yeah, Let the Right One In.
Jones, I Didn't Like True Blood. This is making fun of me for not liking True Blood.
Yeah, True Blood was excellent.
Got a little
crazy at the end.
Cat very much liked True Blood.
True Blood was awesome.
I'm not a fan.
Next thing you know, you have like Werepanthers. It got kind of.
How about Once Bitten with Jim Carrey?
Never saw it.
Early 80s, mid 80s. Yeah.
Near Dark was a good one.
Uh-huh.
Near Dark was really good. Bram Stoker's Dracula. You go to the original Dracula with Bela Lugosi.
Let me tell you. You watch just good, entertaining PG television. Vampire Diaries.
Vampire Diaries. I mean, is that CW?
Yeah, CW.
No doubt.
If you want that. Right. You're getting
if you want 1,000 episodes of a show, go watch that.
You're getting pumping out 23 episode seasons.
You're getting your werewolves. Yeah. You're getting your vampires.
You're kind of
getting everything.
Something after One Tree Hill.
Yeah, exactly. You want to stick around after Supernatural.
Another episode of Riverdale, which I watched all of Riverdale. That show, you know what? That probably had vampires in it by the end.
Probably
had everything.
None of us said the Twilight series. None of us.
I did see the Twilight series. Yep. Oh, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, good one. I saw
the original film.
The film.
Yeah, good. That's a good
Christy
one.
Christy Swanson.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
617.
Interview with the Vampire.
Did we not say that?
Or did we not?
I thought we at least brought it up this morning.
Maybe
that was before the show. Maybe we didn't
30 Days of Night.
There. Didn't see it.
Real good one. They go to Alaska where there's, in fact, 30 Days of Night.
That's insomnia.
Great place for
Isn't
the
that insomnia?
No, there's no vampires in that.
Insomnia.
Oh, they might have.
I'm saying that one's
on Tubi right now.
They went to Alaska.
30 Days a Night is?
I think so.
Nice.
617-779-7937.
That's the Friday 4-pack each and every Friday at 11:30. Let's get to Hate It or Love It. The Ashton Gentry voting has closed, which means it's time for Mason Graham. Would you hate or love selecting Mason Graham with the number 4 pick?
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
That is next.
Hate it or love it, here on Jones and Keefe. We're on to prospect number 5, Mason Graham. You can vote at Jones and Keefe. Voting just closed on Twitter and Instagram for Ashton Gentry. Yesterday's Hate It or Love It selection at pick number 4. How would you feel about Ashton Gentry? Final results are in. Healthy vote total there, Keith. 51% would hate Ashton Gentry.
Hate it.
At pick number 4. So here's the
That's
breakdown.
That's close, though.
That is.
It's 50-50. So this is one that we got to keep tabs on because if they draft him. Now, we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Colton Miller, and that could sort of change how people view the whole thing.
Left tackle with the Raiders, yep.
If they do end up drafting Ashton Gentry, we should run the same poll question. On Friday, like, how do you feel about the first round pick?
It'll be like 95% love. But here's other things we can read into. So we have 4 prospects. We'll get to Mason Graham in a moment.
Okay.
Would you hate or love that pick at pick 4? You can weigh in on the phones. You can vote at Jones and Keefe. Travis Hunter, 84% love.
Yes.
Abdul Carter, 92% love. And then Will Campbell and Ashton Gentry had more hate votes than love votes.
Man.
But 44% would love Will Campbell. 49% would love Gentry. So there is a way to read into that, too. It's like, fans would rather they draft, breaking it down on that vote.
Sure.
They would prefer Gentry to Will Campbell, if I'm going to read into that. That's what our metrics are telling us anyway.
I mean, he's such a dynamic player, and there's such a need for that over the last few years, like a dynamic offensive player. And obviously they need an offensive lineman, but you know, next week, Thursday night, they take Will Campbell. Then we're coming in on Friday talking about it. I was like, all right, like they got an offensive lineman. And I even voted love it on that, but you can tell, like, I don't love it.
That was my only hate vote until today.
Oh, yeah,
Mason
today.
Graham at pick 4. How would you feel about it, Keith? Would you hate it or love it?
I would hate it. I would hate it.
Oh, man. Hate.
I would hate it more than any of the other picks possible. He could be a really good player someday, but they already spent a lot of money and resources on defense. This whole free agency, up until the end with Steph Diggs, was all defense, let alone some of the guys from your defense that you're bringing back. Their defensive line is pretty good. And if you're sitting there at number four and you don't take an offensive skill player to help Drake May, or you don't even take an offensive lineman to help Drake May, and you take another defensive lineman, I would hate that the most. I know we talked to Field Yates yesterday, who does like Mason Graham a lot. He said there really is no worst case scenario because he likes a lot of the players at the top.
But even he passed on Mason Graham through the pass.
True.
So, and he had him third on his big board after Hunter and Carter in that order.
I have this as the worst case scenario. I think this is.
You would hate it the most out of all the things you would hate.
Now, again, if they trade down and miss on all their guys, it's kind of the same thing. But if they just stay on the board and pass up Genty and Warren and Campbell and pick a few other guys that you might like, I would be really distraught.
Yeah, so we're not saying there's no chance he's a good player. He might be a good player.
Yeah.
He's definitely not in a position of need. The defense doesn't need any more help. I, like you, Keith, would hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And the early returns?
Yeah, hate it.
I mean, they're not always uniform. Like, Genty initially had more hate and it came down. Campbell had more hate and it came down. They still wound up on the hate side of the coin. This is astronomical. People would not like this pick given the early returns. Yeah. So go vote at Jones and Keith. But I'm with the people on this. I'm with you on this. I also would hate it.
Oh, man. Hate.
You know who else would hate it?
It's a lot of the same reasons.
Drake May.
Well, no, Drake May wouldn't love it.
Drake May would be like, seriously?
They have plenty on defense. They have plenty on the defensive line. I think there are other opportunities. I mean, for everyone who says it's a deep draft for running backs and you can wait on Genty, it's a deep draft for tackles as well, defensive tackles.
Yeah.
And you can wait on that guy. If you want to wait until round two and go get or trade up in round one for Walter Nolan or somebody like that, who I know you like, Keith, or Kenneth Grant, who I like, Mason Graham's teammate, in round two or somewhere on day two, you can still get quality players there. I also would highlight, he's another example how the draft is very imperfect. Oh, you want a running back at four? Take a D-tackle. Well, first of all, I think D-tackle is a devalued position. And second of all, he's undersized. Now, he might fit in this defense. He might be a good fit in Vrabel's defense. I'm not telling you he can't play. If they turn in the pick less than a week from now,
brutal.
6 days, 8 hours, 5 minutes, 48, 47, 46 seconds from now, and it's Mason Graham, I would let the hate flow through me as well.
Riot in the streets.
Yes.
I think people have to lose their minds. Yeah, that seems like such an unnecessary pick, especially with guys around you. And your point about running back being deep, yes, that's true, but also it's one guy, then it's like 2 through 10 might be a lot of overlap, but number one is head and shoulders better than everybody else.
So you can vote at Jones and Keefe. Do you hate or love Mason Graham at pick four? We'll give you more prospect. We're not even in on Monday, Keefe, but we will give you another prospect on Monday all the way up until the draft next week. We have full metrics. We're tracking all of them. So far, your favorite pick, the pick you would love the most, would be Abdul Carter at four. Out of the numbers we have, the pick you would hate the most thus far would be Will Campbell at four.
Let the hate flow through you.
That's Patriots fans on Will Campbell. So continue to send those in and vote at Jones and Keith. We'll do this every day at 11:45. Let's get back to the Celtics. Is Jason Tatum underappreciated? That's next.